Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The legislature confirmed every commissioner appointed by Governor Mike Dunleavy in its annual joint session today. It continued to consider appointees to boards and commissions this afternoon. The closest votes were for Public Safety Commissioner Amanda Price and Health and Social Services Commissioner Adam Crum. Price's appointment had been particularly controversial. Opponents criticized her for various statements, including for saying she had voluntarily left a job in the administration of former Governor Bill Walker when her supervisor says she was fired. Anchorage Republican Representative Laddie Shaw says the support of Price's subordinates helped convince him to vote for her. Shaw trained and evaluated troopers during 17 years with the department.
People I know that feel responsible, heart and soul to this department, they are solidly behind her.
Anchorage Democratic Representative Zach Fields says inconsistent statements Price made to lawmakers show a pattern of lying.
Based on Commissioner Price's consistent record of deception before the legislature this year, I must rise in opposition to her nomination.
Both Price and Crum were confirmed by 34 to 25 votes. The Denali Commission has a new leader. The U.S. Secretary of Commerce has appointed Jason Hoke of Glen Ellyn to be the commission's federal co-chair. That's the person in charge of day-to-day operations for the commission and the only one who can authorize spending. Alaska's congressional delegation issued a statement applauding the appointment. They say Hoke's prior work in economic development makes him well-suited for the job. As director of the Copper Valley Development Association, Hoke recently advocated for a new $400 million electrical transmission line for the eastern interior. He's also worked on energy projects for the Otna Intertribal Resource Commission and served as a tribal administrator. The late U.S. Senator Ted Stevens created the Denali Commission in 1998 to fund infrastructure in rural Alaska, primarily with federal money. The Trump administration has proposed eliminating the commission, but Congress sent $15 million for it this year. Changes may be in store for the sleep-off program at Bartlett Regional Hospital. It provides a place for inebriated people to sleep until they sober up, but the hospital doesn't view this as a medical service. That's why the city has been looking to move the program off campus, and Capital City Fire Rescue is thinking about taking it on. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
According to Alaska law, throwing intoxicated people in jail for the night is the option of last resort for local authorities. Fire Chief Rich Etheridge says that's why some communities provide an alternative.
So the first priority is to take them home or to a safe place where a friend or family member can care for them. If that's not available, then we take them to a sleep-off center like we currently have.
Right now, the program is run by the hospital's Addiction Treatment Unit, Rainforest Recovery Center. It's staffed by EMTs who use a van to pick up and evaluate intoxicated people. If they can't take them home, they bring them to the sleep-off center. Capital City Fire Rescue has offered to take over the program, moving it to a space owned by St. Vincent de Paul near the airport. The new sleep-off center would only be available for 12 hours overnight rather than the current 24-hour service. At a committee meeting last week, the Juneau Assembly voted to continue exploring the proposal, despite some concerns over the cost. Assemblymember Lauren Jones voted against it, saying he's adamantly opposed to seeing sleep-off moved off of Bartlett's campus. Jones spent several decades working in alcohol and drug abuse services. He wants to make sure people have access to substance abuse treatment beyond sleep-off.
They could bring a counselor in from the treatment program. They could bring a staff person from the detox to talk to this person. You can't do that if they're 7 miles away at St. Vincent de Paul as opposed to being on the campus. It's not as efficient. It doesn't work as well.
Bradley Grigg became the hospital's chief behavioral health officer in 2017. He says Rainforest Recovery staff offer treatment information and paperwork to sleep-off users when they wake up. But it's rare to see someone go straight into the detox unit. He said they're more likely to return later when they're ready.
We just haven't seen a single individual go straight from sleep-off into Rainforest in the 20 months I've been at Bartlett.
Grigg says moving sleep-off has been a discussion at the hospital for years. They want to focus more on recovery programs and have plans to build a new drug treatment unit soon.
It's just a matter of when, and part of the reason that this kind of escalated to this point with the sleep-off program is currently where the sleep-off program is physically located on the facility is where the detox program will be.
Grigg also says they've seen a big drop-off in the number of people using sleep-off over the last year and a half. They now serve, on average, 24 individuals a month and go some days without any users at all. He credits that to the opening of the Housing First complex in 2017, which brought 32 formerly homeless people off the street. While that means more empty beds in sleep-off, EMTs on staff are now spending more time transporting intoxicated people back to Housing First. And shifting that responsibility to the fire department could mean tying up staff that would rather be responding to emergencies than shuttling people who are drunk. Travis Wolf is the president of the union representing local firefighters. He's been following the proposal and says the union is confident that the decision makers are evaluating all pros and cons.
We will support, as the firefighters of this community, anything that will help improve and maintain the rainforest program in whatever iteration that it may become.
Another goal of the proposal is to create a pipeline for Capital City Fire Rescue to recruit more career staff. The department has struggled with recruitment and staffing amid an increase in calls the last few years. Etheridge says it takes several hundred hours to become a firefighter or a paramedic, but offering entry-level emergency trauma technician, or ETT, positions in sleep-off would help people work toward that while getting paid.
We can get a student right out of high school with their ETT certification and plug them right into a career where they're making, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year without having to go through college.
The proposal adds six new positions for the department. Etheridge says the team could also serve as a backup ambulance crew in disaster situations. The assembly will consider the proposal again at a future meeting. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
People who oppose the Pebble Mine, and quite a few people who support it, came out in force in Anchorage on Tuesday for the final U.S. Army Corps of Engineers hearing on the proposal. Speakers at the Dena Center criticized the adequacy of the draft environmental report. Many highlighted the importance of the salmon runs in Bristol Bay, downstream from the proposed mine. Emily Taylor is a 15-year-old freshman at Diamond High. Each summer, she fishes on the Naknek Quechak District.
I'm a fifth-generation commercial fisherman, and the permit I now hold once belonged to my great-great-grandmother, Anna Chukan.
Taylor hopes to pass her salmon permit and set net fishing tradition on to her heirs, but she says a mine could end all of that. Her hand shook as she read from her cell phone screen.
I don't want my children and grandchildren to have to ask me what it was like to go fishing. Do you think they'll ask me about this day? What I did to stop it? I don't want that to become my reality.
Mine opponents also say they worry about the fisheries of Cook Inlet. Pebble developers want to build a subsea gas pipeline under the inlet. A few speakers said the environmental impact statement should have considered the bears of the McNeil River Game Sanctuary near the proposed pipeline and road corridor. A sizable minority of speakers argued in favor of the mine. They say mining and fisheries can coexist, and that Alaska needs the jobs. Former state forester John Sturgeon says the mine can help sustain Alaska once the oil is gone.
I think that the people of Alaska have got a standard of living you'd like to maintain, and if we don't diversify our economy, that's not going to happen.
Jimmy Hurley Sr. of Equock says it's not popular in his village, but he supports the mine. He had to leave his community and now works in Togiak hauling fuel. Hurley says salmon aren't enough for the young people in Equock.
Are they going to be proud of living off food stamps or welfare or all the other things? Look at the state right now with Medicaid being cut and the food stamp program, probably all these other things that are free stuff. There's not going to be anything free anymore, so we better get people to work.
The public comment period closes May 30th. The Corps of Engineers expects to issue its final environmental impact statement early next year and then decide whether to issue permits. And finally, Alaska health and wildlife officials are taking steps to track undesirable parasites showing up in the state. Researchers plan fieldwork this summer to sample non-native ticks that could gain a foothold because of the warming climate. University of Alaska Anchorage Assistant Professor Mika Hahn says non-native ticks can carry and transmit Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and other diseases. She says it's important to establish what ticks are in the state so officials can monitor changes as the environment changes. A grant awarded last year will help sample ticks and prepare a model to forecast where ticks could thrive. And taking a look at weather, current conditions at Juneau International Airport, 45 degrees, light rain and windy. Tonight, rain, low around 40, southeast wind around 25 miles per hour. I'm Jeremy Shea, and that's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau.